You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
And we were like them that dream. I got a testimony. The Lord has done great things for me. Where are we glad? And not only that, it said before they even said it, the folks who knew what they had been through, the heathen, the people who laughed at them, said, man, God done great things for them. You know, I went to school with her. We came out of the same place. We was in the project with them. We used to live in the same trailer park. We both from the same town with one light. But look at them now. The Lord has done great things for them. Can I tell you, you're really not blessed the way God wants you to be blessed until your enemies see you blessed, until the doubters see you blessed, until a sinner see you blessed, and they envy us. Look at somebody and say, you're going to see me blessed. Glory to God. So then, verse 4, they gave God a prayer request. They said, do it again, Lord. Turn it again. Turn it again. Turn it. We had a new season in my life. God, do it again. God, I know you worked a miracle before, but I'm at a different season. I need to do something new for me now. God, I thank you that you gave me the down payment. But Lord, now we need some furniture in this house. Ain't no sense of having all these rooms and this look like some museum about folks who used to live here. If you gave me this house, now you're going to fill it with all good things. Look at somebody and say, God, going to do it again. Do it again. Throw your head back, say, do it again, Lord, do it again, do it again. I don't know what your again is, but I'm here to let somebody know that God will do it again. If he brought you out before, he'll bring you out again. If he healed you before, he will heal you again. If he turned it around before, he will turn it around again. If he worked a miracle before, he's still a miracle worker. He will do it again. Somebody shout, do it again, Lord. Verse 5 of Psalm 26, he tells the process of how it happened, how God turned the captivity around. He said, we sowed some seed. And through sowing seed, we realized not just seed, but we sowed precious seed. Everybody say precious seed. On Super Seed Sunday, and in this season, many of y'all are going to sow precious seed. Now, precious seed, it's not what everybody sows. That $5,000 to me was precious seed. For me to sow $5,000 today is not precious seed. It'd take a whole lot more in this season of my life to be precious seed. You follow me? But where I was, that was precious seed. Now, what does it mean to be precious? Precious means beloved. Precious means is dear to you. Precious means is cherished. Cherished is something you want to hold on closely to. Like all you women who have your first child. Your child too good to go to our nursery. This is precious seed. Nobody can take care of my child but me. Now I ain't putting my child no children in no nursery. This is precious seed. You have about two or three or four. You are looking for church. You don't have no children church up here? I ain't coming. You don't have no nursery. I got to stay home unless you got somebody to take care of my children. But in the beginning, it's precious seed. Can't nobody touch your child. Precious. It's cherished. Precious also means very costly. Like the woman with the alabaster box. They were so precious, they said it's a waste to give this to Jesus. And precious means highly valuable. In the context of the test, several things make this seed precious seed. Number one, precious is when you had other plans for it. You had other plans for it. In the case of how I began this message, that $5,000, that was our house down payment. Not second house down payment, not investment house down payment, not extra house down payment. This was going to finally cause us to have to be a homeowner. Now, y'all need to understand, down here, down south, home ownership is a lot bigger than it is up north. Some of y'all understand that. There are people up in New York, in these metropolitan, they will rent their whole life and tell you about their apartments. And they are proud of their apartments, okay? Down south, you're like, well, what's wrong with you? I had people, I've had brothers come to me and say, well, you know, I want to marry her, but I realize I don't have a house yet. I said, well, who told you? But their parents told them, you got to have a house before you get married. And so I have a different mentality there, because I like, sometimes you ain't going to have no house until you get married. Because he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor. You better get a house, get your wife so you can get a house. You ain't making no help by yourself. You need some favor. And so, ownership is a big thing in the South. And home ownership for a preacher like me, who's preaching prosperity, who preached that God will, I'm reading the scripture, God will give you houses. I gotta own my own house. This was precious seed. It's like the widow's mite, like the widows and the son who Elijah came and spoke to, who said, we're going to, in 1 Kings 17, he comes and asks this woman, do you have any bread? Or she said, I just got a little handful of flour in a bin, and I got a little oil in a jar, and I'm going to gather a couple sticks. I'm going to go in and prepare it for me and Daniel. I mean, me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You didn't catch that, did you, Pastor Marshall? He wasn't even listening. What is this? In your watch, follow me on social media. You also had some fried fish yesterday. We don't get no fried fish in my house. So this was, and as I was posting, getting ready to post, I said, I got this fried fish because Daniel home. That's why I got this fried fish. She told me that ain't the case. She said she already planned on making some, But some, y'all know if I really, really want to eat good, I text the kids, don't y'all want to come over? Y'all come on over. I mean, all of a sudden, a new grace come on, a new anointing. She bringing food from afar. This woman said, just got a little bit, just going to eat it for me and my son. It was precious. And he tells her, make me a cake first. That's 1 Kings 17. As I alluded to earlier, Abraham was required to sow the precious seed. God tells him, bring your son in Genesis 22. Bring your son up to your only, he said, your only son. And God like dug it in too. Bring me your son, the only son who you love. Know what he was saying? Don't bring Ishmael. You didn't really want him anyway. This is bring the precious one. He said, bring the one you love. He probably could have sacrificed Ishmael, but God said, in Isaac, your seed going to be excited. Bring Isaac to the mountain and sacrifice him there. And when he raises his hand to sacrifice Isaac, God said, now I know that you love me and fear me, seeing you have not withheld the precious. The proof of whether we really believe God and trust God is, will we ever release the precious? Not just anything, the precious. Secondly, what makes something precious is that you really need it. We really needed that $5,000. It took years to put that money aside. And it was done, because it was done systematically. It was being done out of my paycheck, okay? Don't get mad. But the reason why we became millionaire is that we had to do it systematically. Okay? Some of y'all don't realize, the greatest thing that ever happened in the Western economy was to be able to do stuff automatically online. Some of y'all don't realize that. Because y'all know it takes a lot of discipline to write those checks. That's why a lot of us, we used to be late. I meant to put it in the mail. Meant to write the check. It's a whole lot of processes versus just doing like this. And then you can set it and forget it. And you can set it automatically. And then so what I used to do, I had a, when I first started with Aetna, my manager sat me down. He said, listen, at Aetna, he said, at that time, corporations don't do this anymore. He said, we have 100% match 401k. And where we were then, I started that job in 1988, okay? Just about to have two children. I started that job in 1988. I think of 88. You born 88, right? 88. 86, 88, yeah. I think Tyler born 86, 88. No, he born 89. Okay, I'm trying to remember. About to have two children, and my manager said, start off at the lowest, 2%. He said, do it automatically. He said, every time you get a raise, he said, raise it a percentage. He taught me that. He said, if you do it that way, you never miss it. You have more money coming home, but you also automatically have, so you don't wait till you get the money and then decide you're gonna do it. He said, before it comes, and so that's how we started putting money aside. It was precious, but that was my FSM money. FSM, for something money. Don't raise your hand if you got some for something money, okay? Okay, a lot of us have some for something money. In other words, when we say for something, we mean it ain't for Super C. It's for this, it's for that, it's for something. And what also, you really need it. And it also looks like something will be forfeited. Listen, if I do this, I can't do that. That's what that woman tried to explain to Elijah. I'm going to eat this, me and my son will eat this, we're going to die. He said, well, make me one first. And so when he says, make me one first, the implication is there's going to be a second. You didn't catch that. The man of God says, make me one first, means there's going to be something else that follows this. She wasn't thinking first, she's thinking last. He said, but make me one first, because the man of God by faith was saying, this is not going to be your last supper. This is not going to be your last dime. This is not going to be your last $5,000. Looks like something going to be forfeited. She said, if I make you one, then me and my son are not going to eat. But God, she was thinking about a meal, and God had, one translation says, a whole year in mind for her. The case of the widow's mite in Mark 12, 41 through 44. The Bible says Jesus sat near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowd was dropping in their money. Jesus was watching what the folks was giving. Now, y'all know if y'all go and receive an offering, I said, come to bring your offering. Everybody bring your envelope. And y'all bring the envelope, and I open up every envelope and say, that's all you give them, $10. And I look at them. You didn't mind your business. I don't have to give nothing. Jesus was watching those folks giving. He saw everything. Can I tell you, Jesus still watching? Look at your neighbor and say, he's still watching. He watched it. And Bob said, many rich people, they put in large amounts, New Living Translation said. And this poor woman came and dropped in two small coins. And Jesus called disciples on them and said, look, come here. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you the truth. This poor woman has given more than all the others who are making contributions. Well, I don't understand that, Jesus. He just gave, they've been given these large amounts, and he explains in verse 44, they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, as poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. This woman gave the precious. This woman gave her for something money. Something she was dependent to live on. Thirdly, what makes it precious is that it's the best you have. Look at your neighbor and say, give it the best you got. Giving it the best that I got, baby. Jesus. I'm sorry. Giving it the best I got, Jesus. Okay? It's the best you have. In Genesis 4, chapter verse 3 and 4, we read about Cain and Abel. And the Bible says that one was keeper of livestock, the other one was the keeper of the ground. And verse 3 says, and when it came to time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Just some of his crops, okay? I think the King James says an offering. It almost minimizes it. He just brought something. But look at verse 4 says, and Abel brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lamb from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. Understand this from the scripture. Your gift represents you. Your offering represents you. Okay? And so if it's Mother's Day and I hand my wife $2 and say, baby, I think you've been a good mother, she's gonna look at me. Now, if my grandbaby, one of them came and said, Nana, you such a nice Nana, I wanna give you this. She goes, oh, this is you. You're probably gonna start crying. Me, I'm almost gonna get cussed out. Almost. But because she's a woman of God, she won't do it, but almost. Because that doesn't represent me. You need to understand, your giving represents you. Never forget that. It represents you. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but Cain, he did not, because Cain just brought something and Abel brought the gift. He brought the pressing. The Amplified said, and Abel brought an offering of the finest of the firstborn of his flock and the fat portion, and the Lord had respect, regard for Abel and his offering. When you sow and give God the best you have, it's proof that you honor the Lord. It's proof that you honor the Lord. The word honor comes from the Hebrew words, particularly in the Old Testament, kabod. It means to make heavy. Meaning it's very profound, it's meaningful to me. It's heavy, okay? People who honor me, if I say something, they don't take it lightly. Other people say, I don't care what Pastor Bailey said. That's what he said that, okay? So one honors me, so my word is heavy. The other one doesn't honor me and makes light of it. When we honor God, he's important, he's heavy. He's weighty in our lives. And so when we give the best, it shows that we honor the Lord. 1 Samuel 2nd chapter and verse 30, it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that the house and the house of their father should walk before me forever. God said, now I told you what I want you to do. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who make me heavy, I'll make you heavy. Those who put me high, I'll put you high. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So if you honor me, I'll honor you. You make little of me, I'll let you stay little. Now, that's the word of the Lord. I ain't making that up. And so that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord, how? With our substance, our possessions, and the first fruits of our increase. And God said, watch me honor you. You make me big, I'll make you big. You esteem me, I'll esteem you. You magnify me, I'll magnify you. Verse 10, and so your barn's going to be filled with plenty. And your vats, your storage place is going to overflow with new wine. That's what makes it precious. Fourthly, what makes something precious is the latter part. When you give something precious, sometimes it makes you weep. Now, y'all know weeping is different than crying. Crying is, somebody weeping, you know, it's almost uncontrollable when you're weeping. It's, you're weeping, you ever, some of us, we used to get, I'm using nice words, disciplined by our parents, and crying wasn't good enough for them. You said, oh, you think I'm playing with you, huh? They're going a little bit deeper. They want you going, mama, please, now you understand. They just want you to cry. They wanted you to weep. I have one of my sons, it was Daniel. Daniel, to this day, he's the most emotionless out of all of our children. He's the most emotionless. And so to this day, you don't know what he's thinking. You know, his coaches used to ask me, it seemed like I can't get to him. You know, is he understanding me? I said, that's just the way he is. And he listening, okay? But then I know one time he did something, little boy, I was spanking him. He said, And he looked at me and said, come on, Dad. No, boy, you better weep. Come on, Dad. Weeping is emotional. And sometimes when you get depressions, it makes you weep. We weep, listen, because we're hurting. either physically or emotionally. Initially, when we gave that seed, Marcia was hurting. Wasn't physical. And she later talked about it. She said she told the Lord about it. She said, Lord, I made all these sacrifices because you told me. And we made all these sacrifices for ministry. I left my family. We moved here. We moved there. We would love to be back in New Jersey, but we're doing what you told us to do. And now the one thing we had to get a house, now you're asking that too? She was hurting. Sometimes we also weep because we're grieving. When in grief, there's a sense of loss. We grieve when someone or something dies. I saw a story, it happened a couple years ago. I happened to stumble across, now I don't know how stuff comes up on your timeline on X, formerly Twitter, but someone, it was a wife of a known country singer. I don't know country music like that, so I don't know, okay, who it was. But she says, she showed a picture of her and the children. She said, many of you know that me and so-and-so are getting divorced. She said, and I am so hurt. She said, for now, and the person had acknowledged it, for like the eighth time, now he's had an affair. These are the ones that I know about. And I cannot take it anymore. So we are getting divorced. So she chooses to get divorced. But then she says, but I grieve for my family. And I grieve for the home I thought my children would have. And I grieve that my children are gonna have to split holidays between me and their father. And I grieve that we can't be in one place at the same time. Even though I'm done with this man, I'm grieving what I thought we were going to have. Are y'all with me here? And so she was grieving the family and the home that she thought she would have. And we also weep because sometimes it looks like permanent loss. Sometimes when God tells you to get depressed, it looks like in your mind, you can see, you know what it takes to have this, to get this, that 5,000, it took years. We never had surplus money. We were just literally trying to make it at that season of life. Just trying to keep the rent paid. Just trying to keep the lights on. Man, and then one time we got the place, you had all the utilities on at one time. What you talking about? Okay? Some of y'all don't know. I know what it is to struggle. I know this. I told somebody, I was talking to someone this week, and they were saying, and they said, the person looked like they were going to lose some money, and they said, well, it's only like $1,500 a week. I said, okay, rich man. Because when you're struggling, $50 to $100 a week is a lot. Amen. And so I knew what it was to struggle, and I didn't see how we were going to have that. We didn't see how we could have it, and it looks like it's going to be permanently lost. It looks like you won't see it again. Jacob had 12 sons. Pastor Marston mentioned this earlier, because he didn't know what I'm going to preach about. He had 12 sons. The youngest two, finally gets two sons from the wife he loved, which was Rachel, the good-looking, pretty one that he wanted from the beginning. And the father had to trick him to marry her. Now, you know it's bad when your father got to trick somebody to marry you. That's all I'm going to say. He had to trick Jacob. He said, well, that's what we got to do. We got to do, okay? And she kept having babies. He had 10 of them. Then finally, the Lord opens up the womb of the one he loved, Rachel. He has two sons, Joseph, then Benjamin. He loved his son so much, he gave Joseph this coat of many colors. Back in the 70s, we call that psychedelic. Gave him a psychedelic coat. Okay? And his brothers were mad with him. And then he was young and probably a little arrogant. He knew he was the favorite child. And then he tells his brothers, he said, you know, I had this dream. And in the dream, all y'all are bowing down to me. Like I was up here, like y'all down here. And all y'all are bowing down to me. And then he said, I had another dream. Not only you, mom and dad, they was also bowing down to me. And his brother said, we're going to kill this dreamer. One of them said, no, let's not kill him, let's sell him. And he sold him down to Egypt. But they came home and told the father that a wild beast caught him and killed him. So his father thinks that Joseph is dead. It's years and years and years gone down. There's a famine, and now they got to go down to Egypt to get food to be sustained, because God gave Joseph, after years of going through, elevates him to be the prime minister over Egypt. And they come down there, and he's the one who's giving out the food and the rations. And he comes, they don't know who he is. And he comes down and asks, they come to buy food, and Joseph tricks him. He said, take all the money, give them their food, but put the money back in the bags and take it. And they go back and they realize, oh my goodness, so we still have the money. They're going to get it. And then they need more. But then Joseph says, he's messing with it. He asks, do you have any other? He said, yeah, we got this younger brother. He got one other brother. His name is Benjamin. That's the precious one. We have Benjamin. He's the son of my father's old age. That's Joseph's full brother. The other of his half brothers. And Joseph says, bring him back when you come. He said, no, I'm not going to be able to. He said, no, you bring him. He said, if you don't bring him back, you won't get back to see me, and y'all won't get any more food. He comes back. He tells his father. Father said, we got to go back and get some more. He said, well, we can't go back unless we take Benjamin with us. Jacob said, no, you can't take Benjamin. No. You already taken my other son who I love, who now, far as I know, has been ripped to pieces and dead. You cannot take Benjamin. That's the precious. He said, Dad, but the only way we can, he said, we got it. And then his brother says to him, he said, well, Dad, listen, I promise you, we'll bring him back. He said, listen, I'm telling you, I will die if something happens to Benjamin. Takes Benjamin down to Egypt. And they get down there and Joseph says, is talking to them. And they find out have the bags. And so they said, well, Joseph says, all right, all the rest of y'all can go. Leave him. He's going to be my slave. Benjamin. And I believe it was Simeon who says, can we talk? Please, can we talk? Takes him aside and he tells him, listen, tells him the whole story. My father had 12 sons and he had this, please, I will become your slave. But I promise my father, I will definitely bring the precious back. Otherwise, he's gonna die. And as he tells the story, and because Benjamin is there, it melts Joseph's heart. Melts Joseph's heart, and Joseph reveals to them. I was reading this morning. I mean, that's really an emotional thing. We just read through these scriptures. Can you imagine all these years? He said, I'm your brother. I'm your brother, the one who you sold into slavery. Yes, it's me. Now, that's a message that says, I don't look like what I've been through. Joseph didn't look nothing like what he'd been through, to the point they didn't even recognize him. They didn't recognize him physically. They didn't recognize his status. There's no way that could be him. Can I tell you, when you release the presses, God can cause you not to look like what you've been through. The precious melts his heart. Then Joseph lays out a whole plan. He said, go bring your father. All y'all come now, you're going to live in Goshen. And he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God sent me here so I can preserve y'all. The revelation of provision came when the precious was released. Precious looks like you won't see it again. Let me finish this here. It looks like it's dead when you give the precious. It looks like it's dead. It looks like it's over. John 12, 24. Jesus says, I assure you, or verily or truly I say to you, that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, unless your seed dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. I remember years ago hearing Pastor Dollar tell a story. He was at a place where, you know, he wasn't walking in abundance then, and he was at in this certain Lord said told him to give all he had, which was like $10,000. And he said, okay. He said he asked Taffy about it, and she agreed, and he gave the $10,000. He said, you know, it was a big place. He said he put it in the bucket. And he said he knew after he put that $10,000, he said he knew everywhere that bucket went around that church. He just followed that one bucket up and down the aisle. He saw which usher had it. And he was just following that. And the Lord said, listen, if I'm going to give you harvest, you have to let it go. You got to let it die. Look, somebody say, you got to let it die. You got to let it die. He said, unless that seed, you got to let it go and let it die. Watch this. Because the truth of the matter, but if it dies, it produces much grain. When you sow even financial seed in faith, particularly God told you, you got to let it die. Now watch this. Because when it dies, it's buried. You think it's buried, but it's planted. Except it falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. So actually, when it's put in the ground, we don't call that we buried the seed. We did what? You plant the seed. The difference between burying and planting is expectation. Let me say, try this side. The difference between burying and planting is expectation. You got to expect, because I obeyed God, something's about to be released in my life. Because I obey God, something's about to grow. And I say it all the time. When I obey God and sow the seed he tells me to sow, something is happening behind the scenes. Something's happening beneath the surface. I don't know how it happens. The Bible says that when you sow your seed, God waters the earth and it brings forth a bud, and you don't know how. I don't know how God gonna get the down payment, but God got the down payment. I didn't know how God gonna supply the furniture, but God supplied the furniture. All I know is I obeyed God, gave him the precious, and it brought forth a harvest. I'm prophesying over the right direction this year. As you prepare and get ready to sow your super seed, you're gonna receive a harvest that only the precious can bring forth. So there's a promise blessing at the end of the text, Psalm 126 and 5 and 6. He said there's a promise of a blessing that can only be harvested by sowing the precious seed. Okay? First of all, there's going to be joy, because the scripture said weeping may endure for a night. But what's going to happen? Joy is coming. And look, somebody say joy is on the way. Secondly, there's going to be rejoicing. Can I tell you what rejoicing is? Rejoicing is a replenishing of joy. Rejoice is a replenishing of joy. And so you can go through things that look like it robs you all of your joy. But when the harvest comes, man, it replenishes your joy. It puts dancing back in your feet. It puts clapping back in your hand. It puts a song back in your mouth. There will be rejoicing. And then the third thing he says, you're going to bring forth a great harvest. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth. I'm crying because it's precious. I'm crying because it's my last. I'm crying because I think that this is all I'm going to have. I'm crying because I think I really need this. I'm crying because you don't know how long it took me to get this. But he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious. That's why it's precious. But shall doubtless, no doubt about it, God got a harvest in mind on the other side of the precious seed. If no doubt about it, I believe God is going to be what he said. God's going to do just what he said. If you sow the precious seed, the harvest produces overflow. Watch this. Don't miss this. That you will get to the point that you don't always have to sow from the precious. Once the sheaves come in, I don't have to sow from the presses anymore. Now I'm sowing from the overflow. But can I tell you, you're not going to have overflow until you sow the precious. I said, you're not going to have overflow until you sow the precious. Lord, I really need this, but I trust you. Lord, it took a long time to get this, but I trust you. It looks like it's going to be my last, but I trust you. It may not be much, but I trust you. I could have sold it, but I trust you. I plan to do something else with it, but I trust you. And God said, if you trust me, you're giving all you have, but that will never be all you have anymore. There's a blessing on the other side. There's abundance coming your way. Your broke days are about to be over. Your lack days are about to be over. Your struggle days are about to be over. Hallelujah. God getting ready to open up the floodgates. He's going to open up the floodgates. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I mean, God just saying, I know this got to work. I'm obeying you. Just like the woman did. And she and he in her house didn't eat for many days. One seed can bring dividends for a lifetime. One seed can make you debt free. One seed can pay your child's tuition. One seed can open up a new level of receiving in your life. But you got to be willing to release the precious.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.